Today's the day we pause to honor the workforce, and in the next few minutes, to honor the role of cruise ships in the working lives of women. I know, when you think of women on cruise ships in the early 1900s, you probably picture wealthy heiresses with hatboxes, and there were plenty, Gloria Vanderbilt and her twin sister Thelma Furness among them. Thelma was the longtime mistress of the Prince of Wales, until she introduced him to her friend Wallace Simpson. He promptly sailed off with her, abdicating the throne. But in her new book, Maiden Voyages, British author Sean Evans includes the women below decks, immigrants coming to find work in America, or fleeing Nazi Germany, or joining husbands. After World War II, cruise ships were repurposed to bring war brides, pregnant and with infant children, to the U.S.
And it was a leap in the dark, as indeed traveling transatlantic always was in those days. If you left your home country, you might not see those people that you loved ever again. And one of these women described herself famously as heartsick, lovesick, and seasick.
There was great danger. The Titanic struck an iceberg. The Lusitania was torpedoed in 1915. The Britannic hit a mine in 1916. We learn about Violet Jessop, who survived all three sinkings, witnessing lifeboats being lowered from the Britannic right into rising propellers. Just terrible. Jessop was a stewardess serving first-class passengers, part of a new female workforce unparalleled on land. We spoke about them with Sean Evans for a virtual event put on by the American Ancestors Speaker Series from the New England Historic Genealogical Society. Hundreds attended to hear about women like the unfortunately named Edith Sourbutts. She was something called a conductress.
The women who are conductresses, they are employed specifically to look after unaccompanied women and children, especially in third class. There was a great concern immediately after World War I about what was known as the white slave trade. Women in particular who were put on these ships from Europe, they didn't speak any of the languages, they were travelling alone, and they were prey to being picked off by unsavoury characters. So these conductresses were employed specifically to look after the moral as well as the physical welfare. And Edith Sourbutts, a terrific character whose unpublished memoir is in the Imperial War Museum in London. I turned it up. She started off as a typist. She hated typing, so she went to work on the ships.
You described one of the immigrants that was there in third class. Her name was Mary. She was the youngest of 10 in a family in Scotland. She traveled to New York, met a guy named Fred Trump, and became the mother of Donald Trump. Mary was one of the immigrants.
She was. Mary Ann MacLeod was an economic migrant, managed to scrape together enough money in 1930 to set out for New York. She put herself down as a domestic servant, as most women did, because if you didn't put down domestic servant, they might not let you in.
Yeah. You give us so many reminders. There were many tragedies at sea.
There were. It was a very dangerous place to work. Violet Jessop, the unsinkable stewardess, she was one of the ones in the lifeboat who left the Britannic. The back end of the ship was going upwards, and so the propellers were churning, and she watched in horror as successive little boats were drawn into the wake and just chopped up. And she dived out of her boat just in time, went underneath the boat, had a head injury, but was pulled to safety. Wow. So some of these women I write about actually took matters into their own hands. They were female staff on board ships. They were stewardesses or cooks or cashiers or whatever. And they did their lifeboat skills. So they knew how to manage a lifeboat, how to make the men row, how to launch it with the davits going down and all the rest of it. So a lot of these women were really quite punchy, feisty women in the 20s and 30s who thought, well, I'm not going to be some poor little sap. I'm going to learn how to steer and row a lifeboat so I've got some control over my own destiny.
How did you do your incredible research? Here are some questions coming in. My ancestors immigrated from Germany and Sweden in 1886. I can't find entry records or ship logs. Somebody else writes, are there any archives for the American line? My grandfather, great aunt, and her husband were employed in the early 20th century as first mate, hostess, and captain, mostly on SS St. Louis. I want to find out more about them. Someone else writes, my mom sailed to and from Europe in the 50s. Where can one begin trying to research info about specific voyages?
Okay, well, this is where Google is your friend. I went to the fantastic Cunard archives, which are in the University of Liverpool, but I also use the Imperial War Museum archives, British Library, that sort of thing. Now, fantastic archives exist in the States. I know there is a museum about ocean liners in New York. You can just start by Googling if you've got the name of a ship, if you know the name of your ancestors. There are records as to who entered which country, when, and on what ship. It does take a bit of legwork, but it can be done. Start with your own local history society or genealogy society, but look also at records of entry points into America. Obviously, Ellis Island is one of them.
Well, I was also thinking that, again, the unfortunately named Edith Sourbutts, who shepherded all these women in steerage, she took copious notes. And as I was reading, as you quoted yes. them, I'm thinking, that's going to be someone's grandmother.
And it's such a thrill when you see someone's name. You know, I mean, if you go to the archives of various shipping companies, so for example, Cunard, they've got passenger lists. You can look them up online. And they only tend to keep the passenger names from the first and second class, which is interesting because third class, we're usually only going one way, but it isn't impossible to find records of people who traveled in third class. And again, Ellis Island and immigration records in New York are where you want to be looking. You can start by looking at newspapers, because I also go to newspapers a lot. We had a very interesting question, Robin. One person I noticed asked, did I look at the onboard newspapers produced on board these ships? Yes, I did. They were fascinating.
What do you get?
Well, I found one in the British Library, but I mean, libraries will have them. They were newspapers which were produced every day on board each ship. In 1914, the onboard newspaper for the Aquitania talks about where Queen Mary is planning to spend her summer holidays with her German relatives, and how the Prince of Wales is thinking of marrying one of the Tsar's daughters. And of course, all this suddenly comes to a halt. There's a little news in brief in the same newspaper, which says that the body of Franz Ferdinand, who was the heir to the Austrian throne, his body has been taken back to Trieste for burial following his assassination. And that's the first inkling you get of World War One. And of course, the plans of the Tsar's family, the plans of the Prince of Wales, Queen Mary's plans, the summer of 1914, shot down in flames.
Well, and as we said, the plans of Gloria Vanderbilt's sister
yes.
went awry when she introduced that same Prince of Wales to her friend, Wallace Simpson. By the way, we're hearing from someone from American Ancestors that people who are listening want to research, try contacting the Steamship Historical Society of America. In kind of a summation, so the stewardesses and the conductresses, the swim coaches, at least one engineer, you read about Victoria Drummond.
Yes.
Who was a ship's engineer, and there's a description of her piloting a ship while it's under attack, hot, steaming, scalding water on her. She's literally holding the ship together. It does feel true that these cruise ships changed the lives of women.
They did. They gave women agency. I mean, there are lots of tales of bravery on the part of women who we've never heard of. And these were the women whose examples allowed women to go and work full time on board ships, allowed them to train as engineers, allowed women to become pilots. You know, you could work on board a ship, you could work on a plane. And they were also able to travel the world. There were no other ways to travel apart from on ship. In the 1920s, there are a lot of people of German origin who were just desperate post-World War One. And there was a woman who'd been a former stewardess, and she'd been laid off the Hamburg America line. And she was so desperate to feed her family, she stowed away on board a ship. Down in the hold, there was ballast to stop the ship rocking too much. And quite often it was gravel. She managed to sneak onto a ship and lie in the hold covered in gravel. She took with her a bottle of water and some ham. And after 5 days afloat, hidden in the gravel, she thought, we must be more than halfway now. And she banged on the hatch, locked from the outside. And thank God somebody heard her above the sound of the engines. And they retrieved her. And because she was more than halfway there, they took her to New York. Mm-hmm. And, you know, her story is reported in the New York Times. And you think, how brave do you have to be to lie in gravel? How desperate are you? But my God, they were brave.
Author Sean Evans speaking at the American Ancestors series from the New England Historic Genealogical Society. Her new book, Maiden Voyages, Magnificent Ocean Liners, and the Women Who Traveled and Worked Aboard Them. We'll have links and terrific pictures at hereandnow.org.